You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
By the way, if you're a high school student, junior high student, and you haven't already made your way over, we are having service this morning where we do worship and we have a word and we have small groups. So if you want to, you can head on over there. And I'm just excited to be here with you guys on this kind of dreary Sunday morning, but it's better to be inside than outside right now, right? Well, last week I was gone. I was in San Francisco with a youth team. And let me just tell you how amazing our students are. You know, we got there, we did the trip in one shot, so it's about an 11-hour drive. They're troopers, because as soon as we got into San Francisco, we were on the streets handing out coffee and donuts within an hour, and it was just an incredible time, and they just ministered to so many people. We were there for 4 days. And God did a lot, and what makes me most excited about that is what they're going to bring home and what God's going to be doing. And so for those of you who donated to our trip or donated to our auction, we thank you so much. Without your generosity, we were unable to go. And so we've got many more trips in the works for the future where we're going to be taking students. And I believe that God works just as much in us as he does in the place that we're ministering to when we go. So that was really, really fun and exciting. But God's doing something awesome in Canby. Can I get amen on that one? Just even this last week, I met with a guy who said, hey, we've been praying for Canby to get something going, and it looks like it's going now in the schools, and it's getting started. And he said they've been praying for years. And I told him it's because God has got something planned for Canby that none of us can fathom. And I believe that it starts with us in the church and kind of walking into the things that God has for us. And this morning, I get to talk about this is Jesus and the freedom that he has brought. And I just believe there's something powerful in understanding the gifts that we've been given by God. So if you would you bow your heads? And we're just going to pray and give this morning to him. God, we thank you so much for the freedom that you've given us. We thank you so much that you sent your son to die for us. And God, we pray right now that our hearts would be open to hear your word. And God, our feet would be ready to respond to what we hear. God, that we would not only hear it, but we would take it and apply it to our lives. In your name, amen. So while I was on that San Francisco trip, I got a GoPro. Has anybody ever seen a GoPro? Like a little camera, right? And you kind of walk around. Well, I needed something because I didn't want to, like, the camera itself is about this big. If you can see, it's this little square thing. I don't have it in here right now. But I didn't want to, like, walk around and film like this. So I got this little thing. And it's kind of like a selfie stick. It kind of comes out, and, you know, it's good for filming. And we've got an update video that's going to be coming for you guys. But I thought it was, like, really cool. And one of the times we're driving around and we're doing stuff, and I was like, oh, man, it'd be so good if we could – I wish I brought a tripod, because a tripod would have been better than me having to hold it all the time and if we wanted to film something. And so, you know, we're in the second day, and I'm like, man, I really wish I would have brought a tripod. And I'm sitting, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but I kind of have some nervous habits where I just kind of will play with things. Like, this thing's been in my hand all week. And all of a sudden I'm like, what the heck? What's this? There's like a little knob right here. I was like, it doesn't control volume or anything. I was like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really do anything. So I, you know, being the curious guy that I am, I unscrew it and find out that you can screw this part back into it. And I actually had brought in a tripod with me, but I didn't know it. And I'm a simple man. I don't claim to be a smart one, and but the kids are giving me so much crap for it, but because they're like, you didn't figure that out? Like, they already knew, and so it's just pretty funny. But it kind of reminds me a little bit about kind of life in general. You know, sometimes there's things available to us that we're not really aware of. One, because we don't know, or we haven't explored it further, we haven't, read the instruction manual. There's proof that I did not read the instruction manual on that thing. But it just really got me thinking, especially even about the freedom that God has brought, the freedom that Jesus has brought to our lives. And the main text we're going to be going in this morning is Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." It's a really powerful scripture to get started with. The Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. That tells me that the good news is available for everybody. He's not just talking poor fiscally. He's talking poor in spirit. He's talking to everyone. And then he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to repair what has been broken by the world, what has been shattered by the things that go around us by sin. And then to proclaim liberty to the captives, to let captives know they're free, to let them know that they no longer have to be bound by the law, to no longer have to be bound to the sin of the world, but instead there's freedom. And then the most powerful image, which we'll get to a little bit later, is the opening of the prison to those who are bound. When we were in sin, we were bound and we were in prison. But when you have Jesus, you become free. And the cell doors begin to be opened. So this morning, the kind of three things that I'm going to be talking about, and I really encourage you to take heart to this. Because this is a message that has destroyed me, this, like, in preparation for it. Like, there's so many tears that have been shed, so many phone calls that I've had to make that just saying, hey, I got to get my butt in gear. Like, there's stuff in here that God's been revealing to me. It's like, you need to get to work in your own life, which is usually a really good sign that God wants me to share it. And so the first thing that I want to talk about, the freedom that he's brought, is Jesus brings salvation. Jesus brings salvation. It's very simple, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him." I love adding verse 17 to it. "For God did not to send his son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." And in order to really recognize what salvation brings to us, we got to go back to the beginning in Genesis. Adam and Eve were created. They spent their time in the garden with God. And it wasn't until Genesis 3:8 where we see, this is right after the fall. This is right after they had consumed the fruit of the tree of the good and evil. And so afterwards, what we hear is that they heard God walking through the garden in the cool of the night. What that tells me is that their relationship with God was so intimate, and that this was not like a special circumstance. Like, it was like they recognized new footsteps, or they knew it was God, because regularly they spent time walking with God in the cool of the night. Kind of like the fall nights that we've been having, right? Have you guys enjoyed? Like, I've seen so many people out walking because it's been really, really nice and cool. So they had those nice walks with God regularly. So the intimacy that they had was incredible. And then they had this level of intimacy that went so deep that they had the freedom to even end that relationship as it stood. God loved us enough when he created us to give us the ultimate freedom, free will. Even to mess up the relationship that they had in the garden, God gave us the choice. If we wanted to, we could. Then God does what he has to do, and he said, hey, you broke the rule. There's consequences. I mean, there's consequences to our actions. That, there is payment due for things that we do. So he kicks Adam and Eve out of the garden. And then if you open up your Bibles, he spends the next 39 books of the Bible, the Old Testament, he spends that 929 chapters, he spends that talking about his plan for redemption. That while they were gone, he wanted them back. That it was never like God said, hey, get out of my face. I don't ever want to see you again. That's never been God's stance. He said, we've got to do something about this. We have to redeem what was broken. And you know what? He had you in mind specifically while he was creating this plan. This plan for redemption, we see him take care of the Israelites. We see him take care of so many different people and deliver such good things on his promises. And it all has to do with redeeming mankind, redeeming you and I. His plan is about you and I. It isn't just about the people in the scriptures. It's about creating a plan that will one day allow you and I to spend time in heaven with him for eternity. And so salvation coming to us, it was his ultimate plan, was sending his son to love us. And the next thing that you need to know, and this is a statement that it's going to sound a little arrogant, but if Jesus had a disciple that said, I'm the one he loves, I can say this about myself, and you can say this about yourself. God loves me so much. God loves me so much. And if you're taking notes tonight, write that down. Claim that. Grab a hold of that and say, God loves me so much. He created a plan and wrote it down for me to follow, to be redeemed, that I no longer have to be bound by sin. Romans 5:6 says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That the freedom in Christ comes from this very moment when Jesus died. Whether you want to grasp onto that freedom or not, it is available to you. That God so loved the world that he sent his only son to come and love the world and not to condemn it. Our message of Christianity is not to let people know, point out their sin. It's to point out their Savior. That's the message of Christianity. That's what it boils down to, is that it's not about your sin, it's about your Savior. Christ died because he loves you. You know, we sang that song earlier, Overcome. And one of the things I love about that is it says, for every fear, there's an empty grave. I would say for every insert my sin here, there's an empty grave. That's what salvation is. It's ultimate freedom. So how do we walk in this freedom that's been given to us in salvation? Salvation brings so much hope to our lives. We have to realize that I was created to be walking in freedom. I was created to be walking in freedom. You were created to be walking in freedom. You were created to walk this freedom out, to no longer be bound by sin, but instead embrace the freedom that our Savior gives us. Salvation offers us so much freedom. Sometimes we don't even take advantage of it all. So I challenge you to claim your freedom. Claim your freedom. It is yours. It was bought for you. When Christ died, he died so that you could have your sins paid off, that your debt was paid, and you could spend eternity with God. You no longer have to be bound by the wreckage that sin brings to our lives. Sometimes it's our own sin. Sometimes it's the sin of others. But I think we could all agree that sin brings wreckage. Sin brought wreckage to the garden. The garden became closed off, no longer available to mankind because sin entered the world and wrecked it. But what I love about God is that he can bring restoration, redemption, hope, and peace to you. That while you were once a sinner, you can now be saved and sanctified and enjoy a relationship with God. Where we had no right to be in a relationship with God, Jesus allowed us by his sacrifice to spend time with him. And that's not saying that there's not still consequences for our actions. You know, Christianity, following Christ is not like, you know, walking around through the daisies all the time. It actually can be difficult. There's still, we sin, and there's consequences that we have to pay. But the debt's been paid. We just have to walk into that freedom. It's like, I went to college, and I got student loans, right? Like, anybody ever had to take out a student loan? I feel like I'm in the home stretch. I mean, it's still a few years away from paying off, but I feel like there's less time on it than I've spent in it. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. But I took those loans out. I still have to pay them back. Just because I have the degree somewhere in a box, just because I have the degree doesn't mean I have to stop paying it. Right? And it's like our sin, right? Just because we have the freedom doesn't mean we don't have to face the consequences of our actions. I believe that there's levels that we walk in our freedom. I believe that when you get saved, you get a newfound freedom, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that there's that God and that Jesus was available to me. And, you know, we don't really ever arrive in our journey with Jesus. It's not like, you know, it's like once you get there, you're there forever and you die. You know, it really, we're journeying until we get to heaven, right? And if you ever encounter somebody who says, hey, I've got this Christianity thing figured out. I got following Jesus figured out. I've got it all. I would invite you to show them the scripture that says God opposes the proud, right? Like, it's a journey that we're going to have to keep marching forward and keep taking ground. You see, your freedom with Jesus, you as you walk with him, you discover new freedoms and new levels. You didn't realize you were bound by something. And you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't know this freedom was available. That you keep discovering things. It's almost like if you've ever been on a hike and you're going up somewhere, right? Like, you stop somewhere and you go, wow, look at these views. This is amazing. It can't get any better than that. Right? You stop and you look and it's, wow, this is amazing. But, you know, you're in the first quarter mile of, you know, a 7 mile hike. You're like, wow, it can't get any better than this. But then as you journey and as you walk and you keep hiking and maybe you find another break in the trees, right? You see another view and you go, wow, it gets better. I didn't know it could get even better. And then as you keep hiking and you keep hiking, right? The views keep getting better and better. And finally, when you get to the top, whoa, I thought I had it figured out down there. I thought that was it. But it's obvious that God has so much more here for me. And it's very similar to what our relationships with God can be. That if we choose to embrace the freedom that he has for us, we will keep seeing new levels and new views of what he has in store for us. But it does require that we keep marching. Because if we aren't growing in our relationship with God, you're not walking in the fullness that he has for you. You're not going to be experiencing a deeper level of freedom that he's brought to us. That's already available. It's not like we have to wait till it's paid for us to get there. It's been paid. We just got to keep going forward. You see, salvation gives us the opportunity to be freed from pain, addiction, shame, anger, our past, family curses, and so much more. Salvation gives you freedom over that. Like, it's there for you. It's yours. It's yours. You know, Pastor Ron was talking about free, you know, giving as an act of worship. If you're struggling financially, once you start tithing, watch God do amazing things. Like, it's incredible. Like, it blows my mind. Like, what God can do with our little. But if you've experienced pain, if you're walking through addiction, shame, anger, your past, family curses, any of those, if you're walking through sin, God has already paid the debt for it. It's up to you to walk into it. You know, I mentioned we're going to go back to that jail cell imagery. And I was talking to a friend this week, and I said, hey, I'm talking about the freedom, a freedom that God, you know, that Jesus brings to us. I said, what would be the one thing that you'd say? And he's like, man, if we would realize that the freedom that God has given us is very similar to a jail cell, right? We were once bound in jail, in prison, right? What Jesus does is he comes and he unlocks the door, opens the cell, opens up the exit, paves the way for us, marks out in bright tape and saying, go this way to exit, this way out, you know, neon signs, all of that, puts it up for us. And he comes to us and he says, by the way, you're free. You just got to walk it out. Just get out of here. But if we choose to stay in our sin, it's like sitting in the cell with an open door waiting to get out. Like, it doesn't, you're not going to magically, like, get out and, you know, teleport over, right? You have to actually stand up, declare, oh yeah, I'm free. I'm out of here. I no longer have to sit in the cell. And that's something I really want you to grasp, and I really would hope that you'd get today, is that you no longer are bound to sit in the cell that is your sin. You are no longer bound to that. You are no longer chained up. We sang a song, break every chain. He's broken every chain. Like, we don't have to say, hey, God, I'm chained up. He's broken them. It's just we're kind of like hoarders, and sometimes we like to hold on to those chains, right? We like to, they're comfortable for us. Because actually to walk out salvation in its fullness takes painful steps. You know, one of the things that I know is that if you want freedom from something, it's not just about trying harder. It's about making the steps to get help. In my own life, there's things that I've faced and dealt with that I was like, I went to my lead pastor, my last church, and I said, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's where I need your help. And he said, all right, here we go. Let's march this out. And you know what? I got help, and we worked on it, and we walked through it. And it was the most painful, horrific experience of my life where things got brought up that I didn't know existed. I know it sounds painful and it sounds terrible, but ultimately, the freedom that God has brought to my life, oh my gosh, I could never imagine that walking through life like this would be this good. But it's because Jesus unlocks a cell. We just have to take advantage of it and leave. Christ wants you to be free. He's given you dominion over it. He's given you dominion over your sin and shame and said, hey, it's over. Walk it out. Go for it. If we stay bound in our sin and we stay captive to it, it's not because the freedom isn't available. It's because we haven't made the right moves to get the healing that's there for us. So I would say if you're going through things, if you're going through sin and you just can't seem to get out of it, you can't get unstuck, talk to somebody about it. What's kept in the dark can never be brought to the light. What you keep locked up, we can't expect God to deal with if we're not willing to expose it. And sometimes the best way to expose something is to go and tell somebody and say, here's where I'm struggling. And I mean, you want it to be somebody safe. You want it to be somebody who cares. But I mean, let me tell you, I have an accountability call every week with a guy, a friend of mine who lives in Colorado. You know, we'll be talking and sometimes there's things that, you know, I've done or he's done that it's like, once we say it, it's like, oh, whew, it's good to get that off my chest. And sometimes that's all it takes is to initially push it into the light and let God deal with it. Keep a short memory of your failures and hold tight to the freedom that Jesus has brought to you. Forget about the sin, forget about your past, forget about those things. But hold tight. Don't ever let go of the freedom that Jesus has brought you with salvation. Ultimately, if we want to walk out that freedom, it can be weighed. It really can. It's very simple. Sin is about instant gratification. It's about what we want now. But the freedom that we have that's available to us is about what we want the most. The choices that we make, you can either make for now or for the things that you want the most. And if you really want to walk out this freedom that's been made available to you, you have to start making difficult choices now to get there. Now, I do believe that God can ultimately, at the snap of a finger, heal you, bring you freedom. I do believe that's possible. But I also believe that God has given us the ability to walk out a journey that takes us making the hard steps. And you know, Paul says in Romans 7:15, 18 through 19 and 24 through 25, says, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, my sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to our God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Pursuit of God's plan for your life has to be relentless. We cannot take a day off when we're pursuing God and the freedom that he has for you. We cannot take a day off. Because scripture is very clear that the enemy prowls like a roaring lion, ready at any moment to pounce on us. What that means is he's waiting. And he's waiting. He's waiting for us to take a day off, right? I don't know if you've... I love watching animal shows, like nature shows, especially like big cat shows where, you know, tigers and lions are hunting thing. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm fascinated by it. That's how the enemy prowls. He waits until somebody kind of veers off from the pack, from the path that God has, and then pounces. So you've got your pursuit of God's plan for your life has to be relentless. Focus on him. The next portion of this is once you've walked through this freedom and once you've seen victories unfold in your life, is that we need to share that freedom with others. It's not just for us that we've been set free. It's so that other people who are hopeless and lost can see that God is good and that God loves us. As we experience new levels of freedom, we have to share them with others so that they can see what the Lord has done. Throughout scripture, we see Jesus heal people saying, "Now go and tell." And it wasn't because Jesus wanted accolades or Jesus wanted people to know. He wanted people to know that the hope and freedom that can come with following after Jesus. He wanted the victories to be shared so that people who are hopeless and lost and in the dark could experience that freedom and go, "It is possible." Because let me tell you, it's way easier for somebody you know to see you in your life experience freedom and say, "I can get that too. I can be up here as a preacher and I can say, freedom's available, freedom's available. You've got freedom. You just got to claim it." But for some people, they just need to know that it's possible in real people. If they can see it in your life, it could be possible for them too. You know the little song you sing when you're a little kid, right? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." It's not just talking about, like, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," like just salvation. No, we're talking about the stories. I'm talking about the stories that come with this little light of mine that I'm going to let shine. The victories, the wins. Who likes a winning team? Come on. Let it shine. Let the things that God has done shine. Don't be afraid to share them. Because your testimony, nobody can ever take. Your testimony is so powerful. Your freedom needs to be shared. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the demoniac. And it said, from the man whom the demons had gone out and begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him. So he begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much God had done for him. If we want to share the hope that we get with Jesus, we want to share the freedom that we have available with us, for us. It's not about telling people they're sinners who are going to hell and they need a savior. It's about telling people how good God is, how much they're loved, and what he's done in our lives. Because it gives hope to those around you who need it. It could bring healing just through that. Like you simply sharing your story, testimony of God's goodness in your life, bringing freedom. It can really, just simply that, can trigger something and bring hope to people. The other thing that I like about that is it adds insult to injury to the devil. Like, shame the devil, right? Like, the devil had me, here I was, but hey, by the way, devil, you lost. My Jesus died for me. He paid my debt. You can't hold that debt over me. You can't hold that shame over me, the fear over me. You can't hold any of this over me anymore. So, hey, by the way, sharing your testimony, it shames the devil. It shames the enemy. And that's what, like, it brings glory to God and shame to the devil. I'm all about that. But we got to walk it out. Knowing something is way different than actually doing something and believing something and walking it out. And so I just encourage you that if there's things that you're going through, there's stuff that's been weighing on you, there's places where you feel bound, God wants to give you freedom. He's already given it to you. He just wants you to walk it out. He wants you to take the step, take the next step. Sometimes, for some of you, it's going to be bringing things into the light. And you know what? It's going to be painful at the beginning. It's always hard to bring that stuff out. But it's so good once he does. Let's pray. And before we do, actually, one of the things I want to do is just, you know, maybe you're here and you didn't realize that this freedom was available to you. And you want to accept this gift of freedom in Jesus Christ. If that's you, what I would love is we're going to pray and I'm going to ask for you to respond. And there's cards in front of you and there's going to be people up here who'd love to talk with you if you're wanting to claim that gift of freedom and salvation. And then the next group, I'll have you respond while I'm praying. So Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for how good you are, how much you love us, and the freedom that's available to us. God, I would pray right now that for those who are here and want to accept Jesus as their Savior and want to claim that freedom, if that's you, would you just lift your hand up? Yes, God. The next group, what I would love is, the first thing we have to do about our freedom is declare it over our lives. And if you are ready to experience a new level of freedom, there's things, maybe you feel like you really resonated with that jail cell analogy. You feel like you're sitting there, doors open, but you need to declare that you're free. I would just ask you to boldly stand up, and I'm going to pray over us, and I'm going to commission that. So if that's you, go ahead and stand up. Heavenly Father, just go ahead and keep standing up. God, we thank you so much for the freedom that you've given us. God, the freedom to walk out a new life. God, that once we were saved, we were sinners, we're now saved and sanctified, God. And right now, I proclaim freedom over those who are standing right now, God. I proclaim freedom in whatever area they need, God. Would you bring hope? Would you bring light, God? Would you bring your goodness? We pray right now that you would just deliver them. God, you'd give them that freedom that they're standing up to claim right now. God, we thank you so much for boldly dying on the cross so that we could walk out in freedom. We thank you so much, God, for being good. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, you guys are great. I love you.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.